We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Mahomes has the time, delivers perfectly downfield. Touchdown, Patrick Mahomes with a rope.
This one, Adams, touchdown. This time going deep.
Hello everyone, welcome back to RotoViz Overtime on RotoViz Radio. My name's Colm Kelly. You can follow me on Twitter at Overtime Ireland. My co-host is Sean Siegel. He joins me on today's show. We are giving you all the content this week. We have our three OT shows as normal. We did a draft with Blair Andrews, which is up on the main, or up on the, it will be up on the main feed, but it's currently up on the RotoViz Overtime feed. So lots of content coming your way this week. And anytime you can listen in to Blair and Sean while they're on the clock, I think it's always a learning opportunity. So do check those out. If you are interested as well in drafting against myself or Sean, let me know, send it my way at Overtime Ireland on Twitter or rotovizradio@gmail.com. We're setting up some listener leagues. You're going to have the opportunity to draft against us over at the FFPC. Let me know if that does interest you. Sean, it is the Saturday show. We are going to have some fun on today's show. We did put out the feelers last week at the very end of the show. You mentioned if people had rosters that they were interested in having us check out, and if they wanted to get our thoughts on it, to send them our way. We do have three people who have submitted for this week, so we're going to spend today's show on a little bit of roster construction, looking through some of the players, how we might line things up differently, possible moves maybe they could make. So it's going to be a fun one, looking forward to doing it. Some people do mailbag shows. We're just going to do a full out mailbag based around roster construction and roster reviews. So looking forward to this one.
Yeah, we had a listener and someone who participated in one of the RotoViz Triflex Dynasty League startups that I did earlier in the offseason suggest this as a show idea, and we got lots of interest right away. This is the Rate My Dynasty Team episode. We'll do more of these in the future. They won't necessarily be full shows of that, but if you have your Dynasty team, you want it rated, just let us know. And the listeners want us to be honest as opposed to simply saying you did a good job. So we'll try and balance. I mean, most of our listeners do a good job. So when we say that, you can take that seriously, but we'll point out what we would have done differently in a few of these drafts.
Yeah, so we'll jump into it. There's three here to go through. So there's obviously information that I'll have to read through to give the listeners some kind of perspective on it. So the first one coming in from Jason Zim, and he has also said thank you, obviously likes the show, give us some very kind feedback. So thanks for the kind words there, Jason. He did do this in a RotoViz Triflex startup. The draft was about a month ago, so obviously we may see slight changes in ADP, but he said he would love to know our thoughts on how he did, any advice on how to manage the team going forward. He said, I have to admit it was hard for him to take the zero RB approach, but you guys are really starting to shift my approach. So it's always interesting. We get a lot of feedback, Sean, that people, maybe we are converting people. People who aren't zero RB are starting to become that. And obviously we joke sometimes that the more people who don't take that advice, the better it is for us in our leagues. But people starting to take the advice, which is beneficial. So he said he really regrets the Miles Sanders pick in the fifth round, though. Would love any advice on how to flip him or other running backs for better receiving assets. And he has attached a photo off the roster. He did trade back out of the first round. He also has all his 2022 picks plus an extra first in 2022. Also, more kind words at the end. We'll save the listeners from those. But thanks very much for sending in the team, Jason. We will go through them. As Sean mentioned, we will be fair as we go through it. So hopefully the feedback is appreciated as we look at it. But Sean, having an early look at the roster, what are some of your opening thoughts as we look through it? I'm just going to call out some of the players that he's ended up with for the listeners. So we have Matthew Stafford, Joe Mixon, Miles Sanders, DK Metcalf, Jerry Jeudy, Robert Woods, Tyler Boyd, Marquise Brown as the wide receivers and flexes. And the super flex then is Baker Mayfield. And then Noah Fant, who we talked about on Wednesday's show. The bench is set up with Trey Lance, Javonte Williams, Anthony McFarlane, Mike Boone, Malcolm Brown, Will Fuller, Sterling Shepard, Jarvis Landry, Dyami Brown, Harrison Bryant, and then Austin Hooper. So when we look through it, Sean, just looking at the layout of the team overall, I think that, like we talked with Javonte Williams as well, I think great pick there to have as a bench asset. But what's your overall thoughts on how the roster is constructed?
The number one thing is that this team has plenty of youth, has plenty of talent for the starting positions, and has that extra first round pick next season. So this team is set up very nicely for the long haul in this league. And I think that starts at quarterback, where in the second round, he selected Trey Lance. And then you're able to pair him with two, I think, very effective veteran QBs at good prices in Matthew Stafford and Baker Mayfield in rounds 5 and 6. Right. So the foundation of this team is fantastic. The only area that we might, I think, change a little bit would be kind of what Jason alluded to in terms of some of the early running back selections, right? So the 301 takes DK Metcalf. We love that selection there. Round 4, unfortunately, some of the most exciting picks go just before his selection. So you have Ja'Marr Chase come off. You have Calvin Ridley come off. Travis Etienne comes off one spot before. And then he takes Joe Mixon, and a couple of picks later takes Javonte Williams. Now, Mixon there, not necessarily a bad pick. We expect him to score a lot of points in 2021. We look at some of the players taken after him. Terry McLaurin at the end of that round, DJ Moore early in the 5th, and then even in that sort of 5-6 area. You look at T. Higgins going at the 5-12, Brandon Ayuk going at the 6-01. Man, I really wish that I had been in some leagues this season drafting the Dynasty Charts where those guys had gone that late. Right, I think that Higgins and Ayuk are the absolute must-draft kinds of players. So when we look at the Mixon pick, we look at the Miles Sanders picks in round 4 and 5, those are probably the only areas here where maybe we would have done something a little bit different. I think the idea for the Miles Sanders owner is to just explore what's out there, right? You want to find out if the players who drafted Higgins, Ayuk, Godwin, Devontae Smith, Claypool, Deontay Johnson, you know, even some of the guys quite a bit later, like a Jerry Jeudy or, you know, even Elijah Moore, where are the owners on those guys? So once you start to get several rounds past your own selection, you're going to be looking for more than just the one guy back. Running backs were drafted very early in this one. Now, one of the things that we've seen in this Roto-Viz Triflex format is that as drafters have gotten familiar with the drafts, have gotten familiar with the format, the wide receivers have climbed and climbed and climbed, running backs have fallen and fallen and fallen. A draft that took place a month ago, you're not going to be able to get the same values from these running backs in all likelihood, but you want to explore that. If your league mates are still as high on running backs as they were at the point where the draft took place, then you could get a lot back from Miles Sanders, and you may actually end up being very happy that you took him because you can now trade him for such a bundle.
Yeah, the players, when I look at it, you know, we start off with the approach, obviously, that we have tried to, in the Superflex or Triflex format, we get a quarterback, we get a star wide receiver. And then when we start to look further, it's the Joe Mixon, Javonte Williams, Miles Sanders pick. And what I would be thinking there that we could have came away with is, even if you wanted to keep Javonte Williams as one running back there, but like if this was me personally drafting, I would have went with McLaurin and then either two of DJ Moore, T. Higgins, and Brandon Ayuk. As you mentioned, those guys seem to be going a little bit later there, but I think if you end up with at least two of those the way this played out, or if you at least end up or possibly end up with three of them. I think then that sets you up for a lot better overall roster in terms of the depth of the wide receiver position. So if we did do that and flip it around, we would have, you know, still have an opportunity where we got Jerry Jeudy and Tyler Boyd later on, but we might then in the positions that we would have took Marquise Brown, where we would have took maybe Sterling Shepard, we might have been able to fill those up with some of the running back options. So I think we've gone in heavier on running back than I would have. I think it sets you up for running back this year. But I think the way the roster's even set up, I think Javonte Williams is the guy that you'll probably start most out of those three guys. And I think then the short-term value of the likes of Mixon and Miles Sanders could catch up, you know, in 2022 if things don't go according to plan for them in 2021. So I think there's opportunities just to go towards the wide receiver position, but running backs did go a lot earlier than I would have anticipated in this draft. Sean, anything else that you want to add in on the overall draft by Jason? And once again, thanks, Jason, for submitting your roster here.
Well, he has a lot of the guys that we really like, right? I had mentioned Jeudy. He actually already has Jeudy, so you don't need to make a trade for him. Already has Tyler Boyd in the 10th round. Interesting pick in round 8 there. Robert Woods, Elijah Moore had gone one pick ahead. Rashad Bateman, two picks ahead. I'd be interested to know if Jason had been targeting either of those two guys. Robert Woods looks like a player who is a slam dunk for 2021 with Matthew Stafford. I don't know that I really like him nearly as much in Dynasty. Deebo Samuel goes in the following round. Laviska Shenault goes at the end of the following round. This is probably before Shenault started generating a lot of the buzz, but I think I would prefer to take the risk on those guys when you already have some pretty good depth, or you can project out in your head some pretty good depth. You know, Will Fuller in round 11, I think that's a home run pick by any standards. We get to the end of the draft, and then, Colin, I just wanted to run by you quickly. He adds Brown. He adds Jarvis Landry. Jarvis Landry in round 14 is going to be one of the best values that you ever have. I think Jarvis Landry is pretty close to Robert Woods. And so when you have a chance to take some guys like a Landry in round 14, then you didn't necessarily need the Woods pick in round 8. You don't know that Landry is going to be available to you that late, but he is someone who is constantly undervalued in all leagues. The tight end position column is one where we like to have multiple elite players. Pat Freiermuth goes off the board one pick ahead of his selection in round 14. He had a couple picks in round 14, and then he went with Austin Hooper and then Harrison Bryant later. Would you have preferred him to address tight end earlier, maybe take a Cole Kmet, maybe just simply get a second elite tight end instead of going with some of the running backs, or even, you know, when you get that Tyler Boyd pick in round 10, that is a slam dunk. But Gesicki, Higby were available a little bit later. We think that Gesicki could be a breakout guy. Are you comfortable with the tight end approach?
What I was going to say there, and you mentioned Gesicki, I was going to say, like, if we do the approach that I mentioned, we take those wide receivers and those kind of force basically six rounds to get down as far as Ayuk, I think then as you move forward, you can start to adjust on that. And I think that would have left you in a position that we didn't have to go after wide receiver maybe in the 10th round. And I know we both like Tyler Boyd, but I think we could have took Gesicki maybe in that range if we were thinking about targeting him. The problem is when we get to that point, and we talked about this as well in the best ball draft, is when you get to a stage in this particular format, like at the FFPC where tight ends are premium, you do start to see a drop-off considerably then as to what's happening and what we can do. Cole Kmet is one that I have been targeting. The other one that I think is interesting there in round 13 is Evan Engram. There's huge red flags. There's a lot of question marks. There's, you know, a lot of issues. Maybe I don't know if we'll ever see him hit his ceiling and where he can go and where we thought he might have went a few years ago. But I think in the 13th round, if you're looking for tight end help, I think he can help you there. But I really want to get those guys that are in those top 10 rounds. I would like to see maybe to target it there a little bit more. But, you know, getting Fant, I think that's also the guy, like when it is a situation where it's going to be a onesie starting position, unless you're planning to flex them out and it is a week-to-week option, you know, we still have waivers and that maybe we'll find somebody on, but I would like to possibly pick up on something else. And I was always a big Austin Hooper guy, but it hasn't worked out for him in Cleveland at all. So yeah, that's a slight area of concern.
Hey, RotoViz Radio listener, this is Curtis Patrick from the Dynasty Command Center podcast, and I've got a special deal for you today. Go to rotoviz.com, click the subscribe button, put the 12-month subscription in your cart, and use promo code RVRadio2021. That's RVRadio2021, and you're going to save 10%. Taking advantage of this deal, getting your hands on what's included in the package is the best way to enhance your performance this year. So go to rotoviz.com and subscribe now.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Next team up, it comes in from Thomas Oliver. We'll run through his. Looking here, looks to be a super flex team. We're going to call through them, Sean. Obviously, it's 28 players, so we're going to go through all 28. So it'll take us a bit of time. But we don't have the actual draft board. This one is just the overall roster. We have Tom Brady, Derek Carr, obviously likes your guys, Sean, and those two quarterbacks, Dwayne Haskins, Lamar Jackson. Unfortunately for this one was actually submitted before the Cam Akers news, with Cam Akers at running back, Eno Benjamin, Tevin Coleman, DJ Dallas, Ronald Jones, Zach Moss, Latavius Murray, Trey Sermon, Ramondre Stevenson, John Brown, Amari Cooper, Jameson Crowder, Travis Fulgham, Chris Godwin, Justin Jefferson, Byron Pringle, Michael Thomas, Seth Williams, Robert Woods, Eric Ebron, Zach Ertz, Jacob Harris, Hunter Henry, and Ian Thomas. That was a mouthful to go through all those guys. But having a quick review, Sean, off it, what are some of the immediate areas? Obviously, I think judging it, it's probably unfair to judge the Cam Akers side of things, but what's your overall thoughts?
This was a fantastic roster right before the Akers injury. But the good news is that because there's so much wide receiver firepower, it's still a very good roster after the Akers injury. So I would be looking for trades with Akers, see if there are rebuilding teams that want to wait. You would need to get pretty close to what you would consider full dynasty value from Akers to make the trade. Otherwise, when you have a good team already, you can just kind of sit on him there and wait. But we have Ronald Jones, we have Zach Moss. Those guys probably will keep the ship afloat. And then you have some interesting contingent types of plays in Trey Sermon, Ramondre Stevenson. A lot of dynasty and Devy guys are very much on those two players. If Trey Sermon breaks through for this season, then maybe he can be the guy who takes those Akers points. Now, the reason that I say it's a good team, when you're looking at any kind of super flex roster and you have Lamar Jackson and Tom Brady, you're going to score a ton of points there. And then you have Derek Carr as a solid bye week fill-in in the disaster, someone you can insert into the starting lineup. And then we look at the receivers, right? Amari Cooper, Chris Godwin, Justin Jefferson, Michael Thomas, Robert Woods. Those guys week in and week out are going to allow you to put up a bunch of points in the flex positions, really take it to your opponent. At tight end, we have a kind of fun team here where there are some more middle of the pack guys in terms of Zach Ertz. We think he's going to be traded and have a better season than people are anticipating. You know, you mentioned Hunter Henry, the big contract there with the Patriots. If Mac Jones emerges early, he can score a lot of points. And then it's always fun to see Jacob Harris, someone we have been promoting as the next Darren Waller since early in the offseason. He then generated some really interesting quotes out of Rams offseason workouts. It's still someone, you know, you want to be careful. I mean, he's not necessarily a draftable player in a 20-round redraft, but Jacob Harris, someone I'm sitting on in almost all of my dynasty teams.
Yeah, and I think, like, obviously, when we look at it, if we're looking long-term, Tom Brady, we've thought for years that, you know, let's move him on. We're not going to get any value from him in a year or two in our dynasty leagues. But at this point, I'd be holding firm, and I'd be going with it. It's just obviously when he retires, that might become an area where we need to address, and trying to address that now might be the appropriate way to do it rather than wait for that time. Obviously, Akers, yeah, big loss from there, but having those guys like Ronald Jones, like Zach Moss, can help fill those gaps as well. I do think that tight end could be an area here that could be a little bit of a weakness. I think the Patriots situation is a little bit tricky to call. I'm not sure as to how much value or who's going to be the guy that gets the targets or how that's going to work out this season. So I'm a little bit skeptical of the two New England Patriots tight ends. I think Ebron kind of gets enough to do enough, but it's just never all that consistent. And I think Ertz is probably the one that you're hoping gets out of Philadelphia, which we fully expect, but then gets a good landing spot. I think the dream scenario for him is that we see him maybe end up in Buffalo. I think that would be an absolutely ideal spot for him, but we'll see what happens there. But overall, good roster, Thomas. Just unfortunate, obviously, with that Akers news over the last couple of days. We have one more to run through here.
I wanted to ask you here, with the Akers situation, and you have some elite older players, you have a Tom Brady who in a one-year situation probably is going to play two. In some ways, someone you can count on for 2 years is worth more than a lot of, you know, even established running backs. So a tradable person in Superflex, you have players like Amari Cooper, Michael Thomas, Robert Woods, players who probably a year from now are going to have less trade value. Within the context of the Akers news, do you go ahead and sell this team right now, but with the idea that you're going to be getting back pieces who are younger, maybe have a wider range of outcomes, but if everything breaks the right way, you can still be competitive in 2021?
This team for me feels like it's kind of built for 2021 before the Akers news. And I think if we could move Akers for something that we can use this year, like you were talking about at the start, maybe in that situation, then we can continue on. I think blowing it all up for the one guy is probably not something that I'd be looking to do. I think you could probably still do a lot with this team this year. It's just if we can look to see if we can get enough running back production to fill that in. So would you be going the complete opposite? I think that the team still can, like, there's enough time to, you know, fill in some running back spots. We'll probably see some guys emerge maybe in preseason here where there's, you know, production and preseason, and then we can probably pick some guys up with the waiver wire that'll be able to be patched in there at the running back position. So would you be going as far as to turn things around?
I never like to tank a season, right? But I think that rebuilds or complete blow it up, start over campaigns, when you have this much talent on your team, they can actually happen in an instant, right? So if you're able to turn Akers for an interesting guy who is a young player, has some value right away. Again, if you're going to turn it here, you're going to be looking at guys with a wide range. So maybe you can move a Cam Akers, you know, for a Javonte Williams. Maybe you can move a Michael Thomas for Jerry Jeudy, plus another interesting piece, you know, if you throw in a Byron Pringle. And Pringle is someone who in a 30 roster spot league has some real value. Someone might take him as a throw-in. Maybe you can move Amari Cooper for Brandon Ayuk. And if the 49ers are run heavy this year, then yeah, you sit and wait. But if they're not, if Trey Lance blows up, then you have a guy who's better than Cooper right away. So those would be some of the moves I'd be trying to make. I'd be looking at it as, you know, my league mates think that I'm starting over, but really what I'm doing is this very quick rebuild on the fly where I'm shuffling my lineup. I'm getting younger and using the Akers injury as an excuse, as sort of a catalyst to open up discussions within the league. But then I put together a roster that I can win with in 2021. And in 2022, I'm ready to really blow the doors off in terms of how it fits with other teams. Now, I think the question of whether or not you rebuild is a little bit based too on the strength of your opponents. One of the things that comes up in dynasty leagues that we don't tend to think about when we're looking at just one roster, but if you're in a league where there are three or four really bad teams and there are one or two teams that are so far ahead that your chances to beat them anyway are minimal, then I think that you rebuild a little bit more, or you lean more in that direction. I think if the top six teams are fairly even in your league, then you would have more incentive to stick it out, knowing that you have a lot of talent on this team already.
Yeah, it's an interesting thought process, and we've given a lot there, I think, for him to think through. So we're interested to see how that lineup looks in a couple of months. The next question coming in, Sean, you'll remember this one. It comes in from the assistant pig keeper, Ben. So he's sitting in a team here. Had a great review from Ben on iTunes or Apple Podcasts a couple of months ago. So thanks again for that. He said he has an interesting league setup that's only 1 year old. He set it up especially for pandemic conditions. It's a 10-team league. He said he's really enjoyed it, so they're going to continue to roll with it. It was a salary cap draft, non-PPR, with a large starting lineup. So two quarterback, two running back, three wide receivers, two tight end, one running back wide receiver flex, one wide receiver tight end flex, nine bench, two IR spots, 22 roster spot overall. So interesting even to go in, like, once I see 10-man league, I automatically think ramp up the size of the, you know, squad that you need and the position element. So I think that's going to help it here. I can and likely will start five receivers most weeks, even in non-PPR, but I was wondering what other priorities you would make, especially at the tight end position, especially with regards to allocating salary cap dollars. Last year, the league mates were fairly sharp and Kelsey went for 45 out of a $200 budget, 28 for Kittle, 20 for Waller, and 15 for Andrews. This year, he expects a good deal of inflation, and it definitely dawned on everyone how thin the position was, and because they watched the injury ravage Kelsey team still almost win the championship. So last year I had a roster limited to four tight ends, so no one hoarded the position. Don't know if he's going to abolish the roster limits this year. His number one question will be how much of his roster budget and should he ballpark for each position, and whether he should aim for three elite tight ends to, and he has put in quotes here, corner the market, or whether that conversely would be a robust tight end strategy that makes me overly fragile. Possible two elite tight ends, Waller and Pitts, or go with two flyers with good upside, such as Gesicki / Fant, or even Komet / Troutman. He said good luck to us in our drafts this season, so thanks for that. And he says he loves listening to the draft processes, so he's hopefully enjoying this week listening into the draft, but says he's hoping we take down the big one. I assume he's talking about the FFPC main event. We also hope that, so hopefully that's the case. But Sean, a loaded question. Do you have a preference with where we start on it?
So this is an unusual league, right? And this is a lot of fun because having unusual leagues like this really make you think through the different elements. And I think that helps you in other formats, helps you maybe in your more traditional or conventional formats. We actually did a full week 3 episode arc on this for Stealing Bananas, talking about thinking across formats. So anyone who hasn't checked that out, make sure you hop over. Ben Gretsch, obviously always awesome. Drew Dinkmeyer was a superstar on his guest appearance. So this idea of thinking across formats, I think, is really cool. And this question kind of brings me back to when we had Scott Fish on the show, and he talked about, you know, what would never show up in the Scott Fish Bowl, and the one thing was two tight end leagues, because in two tight end leagues you have to have the top guy to win, right, Colin? He was citing to us that in these two tight end leagues, the person with Kelsey or the tight end one was winning just some obscene percentage of the actual leagues, it made it not work very well. Now, I love the fact that this is two tight end in an auction, because now people have the choice, right? You're not going to be stuck, you know, with the 12th pick. And, you know, in a two tight end league, you could have three, four tight ends go off the board in the first round. And now you're thinking, well, I don't have any chance. You're bidding here. You can make your own decisions. This is really cool. I think that you go after the stud tight ends. Colin, does that follow with what we've heard on the show, what we've talked about on the show? And obviously we've been elite tight end for years.
Yeah, it definitely fits with it. And just going back, you mentioned Scott being on the show. Like, I think if you have listened to that episode, you just go and you get the money and you put it on those tight ends. Obviously, you want to fill out your roster, but I think going and getting those top guys is what's going to make the difference. I do think, obviously, you know, last year we're looking at like 20 for Waller at that time. And obviously, I don't know what sort of budget's going to be allocated this year when the way we're talking about Darren Waller this year from the jump that he did make last year. So I do think it's interesting, but I think it's going to be hard to allocate budget to get two of those top guys. So I think his question was kind of two of the elite guys and then two flyers with good upside. I think the most realistic option probably here is to try and pair the likes of a Waller or Kittle or Pitts with then somebody like a Gesicki or a Fant. Is that probably where the most realistic path is?
I would think so, but it would be interesting to see if you could get a Waller Hawkinson starting lineup and then, you know, look for maybe a Zach Ertz really late or the breakout with Cole Kmet, you know, get that third guy. As he mentioned here, you have to start two tight ends. You do have a later position that's a wide receiver or flex. You have a later position that's a wide receiver or tight end flex. So you could go three tight ends. And if you are going with a Waller Hawkinson Kmet starting lineup in this format, it might be kind of interesting. Again, we do have the non-PPR as opposed to a tight end premium, so we have to keep that in mind. But tight ends are definitely going to determine where this draft goes. Colm, I also just wanted to mention, you had referenced Ben and his assistant pig keeper handle. We had talked about that in the past on the show. And Lloyd Alexander, the Black Cauldron, I have Disney right now and just sort of messing around one time recently. I did load that up. I watched the Black Cauldron movie from many, many, many years ago. They got horrible reviews and it was a sad moment, right? I was able to get through about 10 minutes and all 10 minutes were excruciating. The film was absolutely terrible, much worse than I remember from when I saw it as a little kid. And yeah, so hopefully they will remake that in a way that is not so destructive to the source material sometime in the future, because it is a really cool story. Colin, quickly before we get off, I've had another week now of HBO Max. The Flight Attendant has been fantastic. Did you have any show recommendations for us this week?
No, but I also finished up on Loki, and I may have to watch it again. I'm equally confused. I have got to the end of it, but I find it kind of, I did mention that you had to pay attention. I did pay attention, and I feel like I didn't pay enough attention. So I may have to go back and see where I missed out. Some of the timelines and that were tricky to follow. Something that I am excited for hasn't come out yet, but is coming out. I haven't, over the last couple of years, probably been waiting for that second season as much for anything. Ted Lasso is coming out for season two. It's on Apple, and I really did love season one. So that's coming out, I think this coming week, maybe even this week. So I'm looking forward to diving into that. So that will be an upcoming recommendation, but I just wanted to follow through with my Loki review. So people thinking about it probably aren't that much further forward, whether they should watch it or not. But I would say give it a try if you like those sort of shows. I did. So I can't remember. Somebody did tweet me last week to say they heard the show where I had said I was listening to it, and they said they were delighted that they weren't going to have to sell off all their stock in Disney. But obviously I haven't been able to increase the stock with my reviews this week, where I'm still a little bit confused.
Well, I'm glad to hear that you are watching that. Right now I have Hulu, Disney, ESPN, HBO all in a package. I'm trying to sort of speed watch all of the content on all of those so that I can cancel and not have all of the expenses with that. But yeah, HBO Max, a lot of cool shows. I actually watched an Antarctic drama called The Head, where, I mean, there's a decapitated person early on, this murder mystery, these guys who are down in Antarctica for the 6 months of night, basically. So you see him at the beginning with the last day of the sun. Then you jump forward to the first day of sun 6 months later, and almost everyone has not made it. And then work through the mystery. Actually, very well done, exciting end. This, again, an international element to the show. We like to mix in some of those, broaden our horizons, hear some foreign language, and just get a little bit of a different angle than we get with some of the American broadcasts. And Colm, I know you have a substantial UK audience that is very much in favor of the European shows.
Yeah, that's I really enjoy, like you said, like seeing different cultures, seeing different perspectives, and that's something that I really like to try and broaden my horizons with. So it's always good to focus in on those things as well. But that is going to take us to the end of the third show of the week. If you're listening through all the draft shows, this may be your sixth show of the week or your seventh show. Hopefully you've enjoyed listening into all of those. Of course, as always, you can get yourself a 10% discount to a RotoViz NFL pass. All you have to do is add the code RVRadio2021 at checkout, or go to rotoviz.com/podcast for additional information. That gets you access to everything up on the website, gets you set up for the season. Don't miss out on that offer. As always, leave us a written interview on your favorite podcast app. We do appreciate it very, very much. And Sean, of course, is also doing the wonderful Stealing Bananas podcast with Ben Gretsch. Make sure you're checking that out. Drop a written interview on that one as well while you're at it. I have to say, this past week, the three shows involving Zero RB and the strategies behind that, they also talked about the running back targets for the Zero RB builds this year. So just stuff that is must listen. If you haven't already checked it out, that is Stealing Bananas. It is available pretty much everywhere you can listen to podcasts, very similar to RotoViz OT as well. So check out the great work the guys are doing over there. My name is Colm Kelly. You can follow me on Twitter at Overtime Ireland. My co-host, as always, is Sean Siegel. And until we're back with more shows next week, have a good one. Thank you for listening to Overtime on RotoViz Radio. Please rate and review the RotoViz Radio podcast on iTunes or your favorite podcast app. You can contact us via email at rotovizradio@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter at RotoViz Radio. And remember, you can always support the pod by subscribing to RotoViz with a discount through the RotoViz Radio homepage, rotoviz.com/podcast.